Father God, we thank you that you give us your word. We ask that you would help us to listen to you and shape our lives by it so that we can stand firm as Christians. Amen. As I was cycling past Redfern Station last weekend, I saw a poster advertising the new Exorcist film, which apparently came out this past week. In case you're worried, I'm not planning on seeing it. However, it did get me thinking a bit about how our society thinks about spiritual warfare and spiritual beings and demons. It typically involves some kind of religious symbols and hand gestures, maybe some cultic rituals. Usually involves some kind of special person, like a priest, maybe someone who's particularly holy or righteous or powerful, or maybe just a sheer force of personality. And this helps to overcome the evil spirit. But for most people, spiritual warfare, like spiritual beings, is just fiction. But are spiritual beings just fiction? After all, the Bible speaks very regularly about both angels and demons. Jesus interacted with demons multiple times, and all through the Bible it's clear that way back from the Garden of Eden and even up to now, Satan is active and powerful. And if Satan is active and powerful today, then how can we possibly hope to resist him? Well, over the last 10 weeks, we've been working our way through this book of Ephesians. And Scott's helpfully given us three words which show the logical flow of Ephesians. First, we had calling, where Paul tells the Ephesians about how God has called them to himself. He's saved them, not because of anything they've done, but by his mercy. And then our second word was walking. We've seen how Christians are to walk or conduct themselves in a manner that's worthy of their calling. And now today we've come to the very last part of Ephesians about standing firm in this gospel. There are four key truths that we're going to focus on today. Firstly, we're engaged in a spiritual battle. We fight in God's strength. We fight by standing firm. And we fight by praying. We're going to go through each of those in turn. So first we're going to look at the fact that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. Let's reread the first two verses. If you've closed your Bible, it would be great to open it up again so we can follow along. And we'll read starting from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So the first instruction that we have here is to be strong or be strengthened in the Lord, that is, our Lord Jesus. We're made strong in the Lord when we put on the full armor of God, God's own armor, which he's given to us through what Jesus has done for us. And why is it important to be strong in the Lord and put on the armor of God? Quite simply, it's because we have an enemy, and not just any enemy, a spiritual enemy, a cunning, wily, demonic enemy, the devil. It's against the devil that we are to take our stand. We're fighting against him and his evil forces. And that is why we put on the armor of God. I have to say, I loved the Collins song earlier in the video. As I was preparing this sermon, that was just sort of on repeat in my head. Anyway, it's great how Colin turns these Bible passages to music and helps us to continue to think about them. But that we as Christians are engaged in a spiritual battle is very clear in this passage. And yet, if you're much like me, then day to day, that's often not how we tend to think about the spiritual battle. The Christian life as a spiritual battle. And like we've already observed, if you're much like most of our society, that's not how you think about spiritual battles either. But it should go without saying that God and what he has revealed to us in the Bible is a far better authority to look to when it comes to spiritual beings and spiritual warfare than the Exorcist or our scientific society's skepticism. When it comes to spiritual beings, there's two different and opposite dangers that Christians face. We could either refuse to believe that they exist, or we could live in fear of them. The Bible's very clear that the devil is real, that angels and demons are real, that there are evil spiritual powers and rulers, and that they are genuinely powerful and genuinely dangerous. And so we need to put aside our society's skepticism of spiritual things. We need to listen to the Bible. We need to listen to God about spiritual beings. However, on the other hand, Christians shouldn't fear demons because we know that we have God on our side. And that brings us to our second key truth today, that we fight in God's strength. And that's what verse 10 that we read earlier is reminding us of. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Because this command to be strong in the Lord, it's not about finding some kind of internal strength within ourselves that we can somehow overcome the demons by our own strength. No, we don't have that kind of strength. It's about being strengthened in the Lord Jesus. That is, we rely on Jesus and his strength in this battle. We stand confident and secure in God's power, not our own. And because of that, we have no need to fear the devil. Because God is infinitely more powerful than the devil and all his evil spirits. Not only is he more powerful than them, not only is he able to defeat them easily, he already has defeated them. There is absolutely no contest between spiritual beings and God. They pose no more of a threat to him than an ant does to a bear. They're not even fighting a losing battle. They're fighting an already lost battle, because Jesus is the victor. He has triumphed over them at the cross. And all of this means that there is no need at all for Christians to fear the devil and his evil spirits. When we stand in God's strength, in his mighty power, in his armor, Satan and his schemes can't do anything about it. And so in our Christian fight against the devil, we can be encouraged that we don't need to defeat him. We know that he has already been defeated. What we do is we then stand firm in the victory that Jesus has already won for us. And so that's our next point. We fight by standing firm. Now, we've already been told in verse 11 that we're to take our stand against the devil. But these next verses, they're all about standing firm as well. I'm going to read the next chunk starting from verse 13. So please read along with me. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We are to put on the armor of God so that we'll be ready to stand our ground, and then to stand firm, and then to keep standing firm. It's impossible to miss Paul's emphasis here with all of this repetitiveness. It's vitally important for us to stand our ground, always and especially on evil days when we particularly feel Satan's attacks. Now, personally, when I hear the phrase stand your ground, I can't help but think of The Princess Bride. If you're not familiar with it, at one point there's about 50 guards in front of a gate, cowering in terror before their enemy who's trying to break into the castle. And the gatekeeper tries to encourage them to stay and fight. Stand your ground, men! Stand your ground! But the guards are not prepared to stand their ground. They do the opposite. They turn and run. They flee before their enemy, who happens to be one guy wearing a cloak that just got set on fire and standing in a wheelbarrow. But... And here, Paul is giving this instruction to stand your ground to Christians. As Christians, we are to stand our ground, to stand firm in the face of our enemy. And if we are standing in God's strength, then our adversary should be no more terrifying to us than someone wearing a black cloak and riding a wheelbarrow. And so now we come to the actual pieces of the armor of God. It's going to be helpful for us to look at each piece individually. We don't want to get too distracted by the details, but the overall picture is that God has given us everything, everything that we need to be able to stand firm against the devil. But first, we're equipped with truth. Now, as Christians, we know the message of truth, that is the gospel. That's from chapter 1, verse 13, you can see up there, earlier in Ephesians. Not only this, but we also put away falsehood that the devil loves so much and speak truthfully, Ephesians 4:25. And then secondly, we have righteousness, because God has reconciled us to himself. And so now we put off the old self, which followed the ways of the devil, and instead we put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And next we have the readiness of the gospel of peace, which Jesus preached to all Christians. And this gospel makes us ready to fight in this spiritual battle against the devil. And then we have faith, that is, as we trust in God's promises that we have in Christ. We have confidence that he will protect us and that the devil's schemes will fail. Next, salvation. We've been saved, and it's not because of anything that we've done, but by God's grace and his mercy. Satan can't accuse us before God. He can't make us lose our salvation, because it is God who has saved us, and no one can snatch us out of his hand. And then finally, the word of God. This word is what we believe, according to which we've been saved. And it's the same gospel message that we now also get to speak as we tell others about salvation in Jesus. It's the sword of the Spirit. And do you want to know how to go on the offensive against Satan? Talk about Jesus. Use the sword of the Spirit. Speak the word. Tell people about the confidence and the joy that you have in Jesus. Well, this is the armor of God. This is how we stand our ground, fight in the spiritual battle. And you might have noticed it all centers on the gospel. It all revolves around Jesus and his finished work on our behalf. And so how do we fight? Well, we stand firm. We stand firm in the gospel. And when we stand firm in the gospel, relying on Jesus' victory, trusting in God's power, we don't need to fear the devil and his schemes. But, and this is an important but, that doesn't mean that we should then be careless. We must not become complacent when it comes to the devil. Yes, the devil's defeated, And no, we don't need to fear him. But there's a significant difference between fear and carelessness. We must not replace fear with carelessness, but rather with due caution. Perhaps in that way, it's the same attitude that we have towards electricity. I hope that looking at a PowerPoint doesn't fill you with great fear and anxiety. But I also hope that you don't go and stick a fork into it. We don't need to be frightened of electricity, but we do need to be careful of it because we know that it is dangerous. And in the same way, the devil shouldn't fill us with terror, but we do need to be on our guard. After all, if the devil wasn't dangerous, Paul wouldn't write this passage. But he does write this. He tells us to stand firm because the devil is dangerous and needs to be actively resisted by Christians. The devil is cunning, and his schemes might not be obvious, like literal flaming arrows. He might not show himself in demonic manifestations, demon possessions, witchcraft, but his schemes are still dangerous, like flaming arrows. They can be very subtle. They might not even look that demonic at all. That inclination which says, well, it's okay to be angry at the moment, or when we're tempted to leave a job that we don't really want to do for someone else, when we desire approval and respect from our world, even if there's little compromises that we make along the way. And Paul points out how the devil can use something as simple as smouldering anger as a foothold in chapter 4, verse 26. He says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold." The devil and his schemes are dangerous, and so we must fight him, being on our guard, standing firm in God's strength, holding on to the wonderful truth of the gospel. And because we're engaged in a spiritual battle, because we fight by standing firm in God's strength, our next core truth from this passage shouldn't surprise us, that we fight by praying. Let's read from verse 18. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." These verses are giving us more information about what it is to stand firm, about how we stand firm. We stand firm by praying. It's just a part of standing firm. Now, prayer doesn't have an armor metaphor associated with it like all of the things that we were looking at earlier, but it's actually even more emphasized in this passage than any of the other individual pieces of armor. Paul says to pray on all occasions, always keeping alert in prayerfulness, and to persevere in praying for all Christians, including for himself and the proclamation of the gospel. Not only for the proclamation of the gospel, but especially for the proclamation of the gospel. After all, what better way is there to wage war against Satan's kingdom of darkness than to pray for people to hear of and see the glorious light of the gospel? In my own experience, I find that praying is something that's very easy to let fall by the wayside, and particularly in times of busyness. And perhaps that resonates with your experience as well. But something I've been challenged about by this passage is, if the Christian life is a spiritual battle, and if we rely on God's strength in this battle, it's hard to think of a better way to spend our time than to pray. So let's persist in praying for ourselves and for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that we would stand firm in the gospel. Pray that we would resist the devil's schemes. Pray that we would continue to grow in our love and trust of the gospel. I've got two suggestions of what this practically might look like. One idea is to pray for each member of your Bible study group, one person each day, and when you finish the list, you can go back to the start again. If you're not already in the habit of praying regularly for other Christians, this is a great place to start, praying for those in your Bible study group who you regularly have fellowship with. Or if you're not in a Bible study, another idea is to pray for a different group of Christians around the world each day. On Mondays, you might pray for our church. On Tuesdays, you might pray for believers in Broken Hill. On Wednesday, you might pray for persecuted Christians in Afghanistan. And so if you're already praying for Christians that you know individually, then this would be a great option for you to consider how you can be praying for all the believers all over the world. And so they're just two options that would be great to think about picking one of to add to your routine. And when you pray for them, don't just pray for their physical circumstances, which are good as well. We should pray all kinds of prayers, Paul says here. But pray for their spiritual health. Pray that they would stand firm, that they would live out their faith and stand against the devil's schemes. Pray that they would rely on God's strength and his salvation in all things. And pray for the advance of the gospel. Spiritual warfare is real, but it's not about religious symbols. It's not about chanting and incantations. It's not about cultic rituals. It's not about us wrestling with and overcoming demons in our own power or righteousness. It's about one thing. It's about Jesus, who has already defeated the devil. And so be encouraged, be strengthened in that knowledge. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be persistent in prayer, trusting in his strength, his victory. And wear the truths of the gospel as your armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against the devil's schemes. And once you have done everything, to stand. Let's pray. Father God, you have defeated the devil and seated Jesus far above every spiritual power and authority in the heavens. Thank you that you've saved us through Jesus, and thank you for the confidence that we can have in you and in your mighty power. Please help us to trust in you and the salvation that you have won for us. Help us to take our stand against the devil and his schemes. And may we always depend on you in prayer, and pray for each other as believers, that together we might stand firm, and so glorify and honor you. Amen.